Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Everybody, oh, what a difference a day makes. It doesn't matter if it's cloudy or you live in the Pacific Northwest like I do, and you get liquid sunshine just about every day, which I absolutely adore and love because I usually don't have trouble breathing the way people in other states do. Or I should say east of the state, it's a little arid, but I'm a waterlogged duck, and I like it. And I like breathing in overcast, rainy, liquid sunshine. I love it all. But anyway, daylight is so rejuvenating. And, you know, as much as I love night, I'm a night writer, and I also tend to do all my schoolwork at night, and I have less distractions, but still, as soon as the daylight comes and it's in full bloom, it is really beautiful and awesome. So I'm loving it. So today we're talking about letting go. And we all kind of hear that and people throw that out at us. So you just need to let go. It's real easy for us all to say that. And it may seem like it's easy for me to say that on this show, but quite honestly, letting go is it's sometimes a bit terrifying, and we'll talk about fear down the road in another episode, but yeah, letting go, when I think I may have even talked about this in a previous show, to me, letting go represented something from when I was a little kid, and I would have these dreams where I just knew I was walking to the bathroom, I was going to the bathroom, and I knew I was there. I was in the bathroom, and I was just sure. But then something would always sort of hold me back and say, wait a minute, I'm not really convinced that this isn't a dream or something like that. And I would fight with myself in my dreams when I was a kid. I would fight, and I'd have to go so bad, and I just, for some reason, couldn't pull myself out of the dream, and those were usually the times where, well, if you're a parent, you've had to deal with your kid probably wet in the bed. Those are the times I would wet the bed. I would finally let go, but by the time I let go, it was a bit of a disaster. Don't wait until you're just forced to let something go. Start letting go of things when you're the one that's really in control. I mean, I know that it's harder for children to sort of pull themselves awake, which is why, you know, they're bladder control and there's always intensity issues. Yeah, why are we talking about this? I know it sounds a little counterintuitive, but really it is. I mean, remembering what the term letting go means to you in your life, understanding that can probably tell you a little bit more about why you choose not to let go. And for me, letting go is I'm just still trying to make sure that I'm actually awake, so that when I realize I've let go, that it's exactly what I meant to let go. So, yeah, I have some apprehension with it, but every time that I've let go of stuff that just seemed like it was stressful or pressuring, my life always got better. I'm going to read a quote from the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama says, "Most of our troubles are due to our passionate desire for and attachment to things that we misapprehend as enduring entities." Okay, and I'm sure most of you understand that, but if you need me to break it down a little, or maybe you don't, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. The way that I look at that quote, it has to do with in believing that you quote-unquote invested in something that's not really an investment. And I've talked about this many times with different people. People like to say that they invested so much time in a relationship. They've been together for 5 years, so they just can't give up the ghost. People have said that to me about how they've invested so much time in a relationship when they've been married only 10 years, when they've just started dating the person 2 months ago. I've heard every gamut of a time frame that people go into. But time, you find out if you get into a little more philosophical thought, et cetera, is illusionary. There's nobody that can actually hold on to time. It's something that was developed back in the Mayans just to help them understand sort of like what was then and what was now. It's just, you know, we set up some numbers and we called it 60 seconds. We set up some more numbers, called it 60 minutes, and so on and so on. So believing in an idea is about as makes as much sense as believing you can make war on a word like terrorism. There's no such thing. You know, terrorists exist, but they're not the word. And so, same thing with time. You're not investing in a relationship. You're in a relationship, and how that relationship is working is dependent upon how you both act in the relationship. When it comes to holding on to things that we think are so solid, we need to really stop and think about how solid they really are. Most things in life are transitory. Are you holding on to something, or are you handcuffed to it? That's the thing to determine and figure out. There was another little quote by somebody, it's slightly longer, but if you've been on the internet and you're sort of into looking at esoteric type things, you probably have heard of the Tiny Buddha. It's a website, you can find it. Lori Deshin, I believe I'm saying her name right, does this website, and there's just excellent information on there. So I'm going to go ahead and read something that a post that she had set, had put that was on this website. And this is coming from the website zenhabits.net, where you can find all kinds of wonderful information. So anyway, Lori Deshin said, "If there's one thing we all have in common, it's that we want to feel happy. And on the other side of that coin, we want to avoid hurting. Yet we consciously put ourselves in situations that set us up for pain." Now, I'm just going to say this. Tony Robbins, if you've heard of Tony Robbins, then you know, you've probably heard something like this. But Tony Robbins also said in his series, humans tend to move towards pleasure and move away from pain. And so what you find is pleasurable, if you can associate pleasure with moving away from something else, then you're going to be much more successful. So then, anyway, Lori goes on to say, we pin our happiness to people, circumstances, and things, and hold on to them for dear life. This is just what we were talking about. We stress about the possibility of losing them when something seems amiss. Then we melt into grief when something changes, a layoff, a breakup, a transfer. Change is not your enemy. Change simply exists, and most times for the better. Even in the midst of the most horrible situations of your life, the most horrible, if you've been raped, if you have lost a loved one, a child, a parent, a spouse, your lover, your sibling, if you've lost your sweet little fur ball, the one that won't protect you from the little critters that come in at night, if you have lost, yes, your job, or maybe somebody stole your car. I know somebody who completely just checked out when her car was stolen, as if this person was doing something specifically to her. That person didn't even know who she was, and that person didn't care. So understand this. Change isn't your enemy. Try to keep that in the back of your mind. It's a change. Now let's just see where it's leading us. Okay, let me get back to what Lori was saying. Lori says, we attach to feelings as if they define us, and ironically, not just positive ones. If you've wallowed in regret or disappointment for years, it can seem safe and even comforting to suffer. Good Lord, that is no more true than when you see wives or husbands that have been battered, or whether you're married or not, you've been in a relationship where you've been battered, either verbally or physically, if they do a whole lot of emotional assaults against you, your spirit, and you make the mistake of believing that what they have to say is true. First of all, when you're getting pain from anybody in any way, shape, or form, it's better for you to take time to step back and reflect, not decide that they must be right because they've just given you a beat down. Who do I think is out of pocket when I see two people and one is battered and bruised and the other one is not? I think the person who put their hands on the other person. I can't think of a reason for doing that except in self-defense. And if self-defense means that you physically harming someone who's just talking to you, you're still out of pocket in my mind. But that's my psychological perspective. Moving back along to what we were saying, your feelings, your states of emotions, I know you don't want to hear it, and I didn't want to hear it until I finally got it. We're in charge of that. So even if somebody came up and told you your dog died, your dog walked into a car, whatever happened, maybe they were watching your dog and your dog died. That actually happened to me, and it was really devastating. But I didn't allow myself to get into the emotion of hate or anger that my dog was in their care and blaming them for it, because it just... life and death happened, and my little Bunky, my little Onyx, he was, he had a good life. Well, he had a good life with his brother and with us and many other people. So, yeah, I didn't hold it against them, and my life went on. Otherwise, I'd probably still be grieving Onyx now and hating those people as if they had something to do with it. So, don't get to the point, try not to get to the point, let me say that, where the negative emotions or even the positive ones are some hideout for your life. That's not living. Okay, moving along, Lori says, in trying to hold on to what's familiar, we limit our ability to experience joy in the present. Uh-huh. A moment can't possibly radiate fully when you're suffocating it in fear. Again, like I said, I'm going to talk about fear in a couple of weeks. we'll do a show on stepping towards fear. But right now, the whole point is you're limiting yourself from moving forward. Letting go means you just can't even hardly get out from underneath the weight of it all. And then we move on, and she says, when you stop trying to grasp, hold on, and control the world around you, you give it the freedom to fulfill you without the power to destroy you. Now, really think about that. The whole thought of letting go is giving you, is allowing the universe the freedom to empower you to even greater things in life. So she says that's why letting go is so important. Letting go is letting happiness in. Oh, okay, total motto for the day. Letting go is letting happiness in. Say it a billion times with me throughout the rest of your life. I need to remember that and say that on a daily basis because there's a lot of clutter in my house that needs to be let go of, and I do know that when it's gone, even though I believe that it's going to be important someday, somewhere in the future, I'm going to need this junk that I haven't dealt with in 6 months or 6 years. I'm happier when it's gone. I didn't remember it 5 years ago or 2 months ago. What makes me think I'm going to remember it when it's out of my house and not taking up space and contributing to this clutter chaos? Okay, moving along. Lori says, it's no simple undertaking to let go of attachment. Absolutely. Not a one-time decision like pulling off a Band-Aid. Instead, it's a day-to-day, moment-to-moment commitment that involves changing the way you experience and interact with everything you instinctively want to grasp. You essentially are standing independent of the attachments of others and your own self. There was a friend that I knew from the old Cooper's Corner, and her name was, go ahead and throw her name out there, Deborah Austin. And Deborah said something I never forgot, and I have told many people about. She said, I'm going to get out of my own way. And I love that. My brother talks, he uses that quote all the time, get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. Stop impeding your progress to a better life. Let go of all the BS. And it's BS if it's not serving you. If you don't feel joyful from it, if you don't feel uplifted from it, probably BS. Okay, and so she says at the very end, the best approach is to start simple at the beginning and work towards your zen. Okay. Great quote. We have some callers on here, and I know that someone might be working the chat, and so hopefully you'll pop into the chat, or you can call in, folks. I know I apologize always for not putting the number out there. The number is 646-727 and 2914. So again, that's 646-727-2914, and you're welcome to call in. Tell me whatever it is that you feel I need to know from you, whether you think I'm being weird or kooky or I need to let go of the of the show. Listen, your words are yours and your mindset are yours, and I'll take what I think I can take. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, did you want to join in, or are you just playing on the chat with Nina?
No, I'm listening, and I'm wanting
Okay, and Nina, I know that you can hear me, and I know you also know how to unmute yourself, so I'm gonna say that to you and Lydia, and if Linus ever pops in, I know you guys know how to unmute yourself, so I'm from now on the show, I'm just going to allow you to do that. Unless you're, you may not be at the computer. Okay, never mind.
Oh, you're letting that.
I know she's
there.
Huh?
You're letting go of the mute button.
Yes, I'm letting go of the mute button. It's the whole control. Oh, my gosh, the control. And I'm so attracted to people who are controlling because I so recognize myself. And I'm bothered by controlling people as well because it's stuff that bothers me about me. And if there's one thing that's hard to let go of, it's control. Maybe that's what letting go is all about. It's really just about allowing control to be passed along to something that might know better.
Right. Well, you know, some people, you know, they say they want a mate and they're working on getting a mate, and then they see someone that they think that's their mate and they want to control that. They want it for sure to be that one person. When, you know, if you let go and let God or let the universe, you know, it might not be that person. It might, but it might not be that person. And letting go, then I think helps the flow when you let go, when it's, hey, that rhymes, and letting go and just having the flow. And there you go. You can have what you want, you know, but it's not what you want. It's more, you know, your true heart's desire, which, you know, the universe has the perfect match, I think, for you. You know, you're not able to know that. You might judge. I had a friend who said, all I want is a man that has some hair. You know, she wanted him to have hair on his head. And seriously, that was such a big thing to her. But you know what? I talked to her recently, and she's let that go. I said, you know, I'm glad to hear you've let that go. She goes, well, I've met some really nice men that didn't have much hair, and she said it was absolutely fine. I'm so glad that she, you know, she progressed in that area. You know, because her perfect match could have been somebody that was bald-headed, you know?
That is just totally hilarious.
I know.
Maybe we should have a show on what the perfect man is, what the perfect woman is. Maybe Lennis should do that. That would be really good on Lennis's show on Sundays for In the Studio, because it is really interesting to see the perspectives of other people. Just even from culture to culture, you know, what is considered beautiful?
Right.
You know, what is considered vital or a good catch, so to speak? You know, what if you got a guy with hair, but he's never clean?
Right.
You know, he has affairs on his affairs and on those affairs. You know, what if he's got a terminal disease that he spreads to your blood? Does the hair matter? I mean,
yeah.
And that's a great example because it's not the typical things that people talk about, like, well, I need a guy with a good job, or I need a guy who has a lot of money, or he drives a good car. I mean, just all those kind of really creepy things. I remember thinking when I was really scared of the wild child that I was, that this kind of absentee professor could be, because I don't do wild like everyone else, but... but I can get wild. So anyways, my point is I was younger and I dated a few people. And one of the things that I remember thinking is there some reason that men cannot buy a good mattress? I mean, I have never even seen or heard of the cottage cheese mattresses that some of these guys had. I mean, they can have like, I mean, I did a guy who had, he had like three or four of the most expensive cars you could ever buy. And he was made a lot of money, but that mattress.
I can see you think,
like, I want a guy who knows how to pick a decent mattress.
Well, you might have something to that. There's some thought that goes into it. They didn't just haul it from, you know, the street corner and, you know, and throw it up on their bed. I had to lie down on a few and go, this one's a little hard, this one's a little soft. Oh, this one's just right. You know, I could see that could be a good protocol for picking the right man. Check out his mattress.
Yeah. So, but back to the letting go, I can just see Nina saying, back on topic, girls. I so love that first corner. I do. I love her and her little antennas. So, I have a story about letting go.
Probably quite a few of them.
Okay.
The one that comes to my mind is that years ago, I started a shop on the Pearl Street Mall, which is in Boulder, which is the only place to really have a shop. And it's pretty la-di-da. Every tourist, it's the number one tourist attraction, if you can imagine that, a mall. But it's a walking mall. It's outdoors, and it's very beautiful there. And also there's a lot of entertainment. In the summer, there's a lot of buskers that, you know, from the zip code man. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He is amazing. He knows where every zip code is from. And so what he'll do is he'll point to someone and he'll say, what's your zip code? And they'll say it. And then he has them stand on this map of the United States that he makes. And if you're from another country, which frequently you are, he knows exactly where to put you. And then at the end, he tells a little story about the place that you live, even if it's a podunk town. Now, some of it I think he makes up, but I think some of this stuff he's memorized. It just blows my mind. Anyway, so it's the place to be in Boulder. And I started it, and it was like my firstborn child. I made it a cooperative, so I invited my friends to be in it. And it was very successful. We always had our money, and there was many artists. First of all, there was a core of 10 artists that made their money there, and then we opened it up, and we took consignment and that type of thing. But I was quite proud of it, but I got my son, my firstborn, and I was investing a lot of time in him and the shop, and was feeling pulled in many directions. And I had been in the shop for 11 years, and it was time to let it go. But man, it was such a source of my identity. You know, if I was at a party and someone said, well, what do you do? Instead of saying, well, I'm a mom or I'm an artist, I could say, oh, well, I have a shop on the Pearl Street Mall, you know. And it was very hard for me to let go of that piece of my identity. And when I realized that it was all about the ego, I could let it go a lot easier and realize that it didn't really matter.
All right. Right. And, yeah, why couldn't it change? You know, does it matter if one stands out more than the other?
Right. And I was quite proud of being a mom, something I had worked very hard to become. And it was, when I really got in touch with what's this about, you know, you're struggling to hold on to this and, you know, does it matter? And when the answer came back, not really, and it's stressing you out, then I could let go of it a lot easier.
Right, right, exactly. Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of places. I think we could all take a look in our lives, and I believe we could probably shave off quite a bit in our lives from just about every aspect. Maybe in your relationship you do something all the time that doesn't necessarily please your spouse, but you get a lot of laughs out of it. I mean, I God help me. I have to admit, but I get a lot of laughs out of some of the things I do to terrorize Gaetano. But I tend to believe that if it was so difficult for him that he would just say, Although I guess if he does say, I don't really pay attention, I just get my little laugh out of it. But I have gone through times when I've actually stopped and thought about whether it might actually be bothering him and he's just being polite. And then I behave for a short amount of time. But there are things that we can let go of that, in all seriousness, in probably every aspect of our life. Lenis was saying the other day that she was thinking about just taking out her cable and just catching TV shows when she actually felt inclined by, you know, getting the DVDs later instead of spending all that time on TV. And not that she sits there and spends a lot of time on TV, because she's really active and she's got all kinds of people to see and things to do. And she's a writer. So the point is, it was just something where she found that her creativity actually bloomed when she let go of spending more time with the television. And I'm never going to say to you that TV is the scourge of your life, because there are a lot of people that get a lot of good ideas. And like myself, there's a lot about psychology that I pay attention to on what the world is doing, because I certainly don't have time to go read every newspaper in the world. But, you know, look at the different areas of your life. You know, what can you shave off? Are you an obsessive cleaner? I have a friend who cleans house like she cleans house like crazy, clean house. And especially if she does that before she's either bothered or nervous about something. She's one of those that gets on her hands and knees and her hand is in the toilet bowl down in it scrubbing. So she's not using a little wand like probably the rest of us. She's down there scrubbing it with her hand, getting it in. And she probably could shave off a little bit of her cleaning issues. And just like I could probably shave off, I don't know, probably all kinds of things. I don't know, my hair, whatever. Doesn't matter. I've felt that way to my hair. I used to feel really attached to my hair, like it was important, because that's what my family intimated, and guys would say things about, oh, don't ever cut your hair, blah, blah, blah. And then the first time I shaved my head, and I had that quarter inch, I felt like freedom you cannot imagine. It almost chokes me up, like I was allowed to be who I wanted to be. And I understood from that moment forward why some women sketch it all off or they'll go bald. It's a freedom from the fear of not looking a certain way, of not being what other people want to see in me. It's a freedom. That movie, Free to Be You and Me by Marlo Thomas and a bunch of her friends. Listen, it's an old movie, and it's a really cute little thing. Michael Jackson is in it, and Roberta Flack, and Harry Belafonte. Listen, it's a good movie because the words are telling you something we all need to hear, is, you know, free to be you and me, and letting go of other people's ideas of the way we're supposed to be, the way we're supposed to dress, the way we're supposed to speak, who we're supposed to marry, date, whether it's gender or status or family. It all contributes to us not being essentially ourselves. And what matters most to you? Being yourself or what other people want you to be? I guarantee you one of those is going to make you much happier. I didn't say easier, but it will make you happier. So if there's somebody else that would like to call in or explain something about letting go Lydia is being called in on the chat. Go ahead and call us in at 646-727-2914, and I guess Lydia can't pop into the chat. But anyway, I'd like to talk about a few other things about letting go. Maybe you find that difficult to determine. I am a writer, so I believe that pen and paper is a good first step for a lot of things. So if you're one of those people who believes in pros and cons, and it works, but maybe you could just make a list about the things that you've sort of never really been too happy about in your life. Now, if your spouse is at the top of the list, this is not to say that you need to boot your spouse out of the picture, but it probably means you need to think about what's going on in your relationship and maybe reframing it from a point of view where you actually want to stay in it and why and what brought you to the relationship in the first place. And, you know, how you're feeling in it. And that list, I would think the whole list, actually, if you're in a committed relationship, would be good for you to open up a dialogue with your spouse with. Like, hey, honey, you know, I'm thinking about things on letting go, and you know what came up top of my list?
You.
and it's not that I want to let you go, and so let's figure out what's going on with us that might make me even think that. I mean, your sweetie might be a little out of joint on that, but if you're thinking clearly and you really do love this person and want them still in your life, you'll probably follow it up, but it's not that I want you to go. I'm just wondering what would make me do this, and, you know, maybe we should just, you know, talk about where things are in our relationship at this time, because I guarantee you where you started with your relationship is not where you're going to be if you have a living relationship, one that's alive, because a live entity is constantly changing, and it can either get better or worse depending on how you feed it, how you nurture it, how you love it. Relationships need to be loved too. You need to be in love with loving the person you love. Trust me, you really do. So, letting go. Pay attention. Psych Central says one of the things about letting go you should do is pay attention and admit what's going on. Very often we want to ignore things that aren't working, kind of thinking, well, I'll deal with it tomorrow. But if you do that enough times, tomorrow becomes 5 years from now, and you might wake up 6 years later saying to your sweetie, yeah, I never liked you anyway. And that is just not acceptable for either of you. If you both could be somewhere else or happy, or if you just let things slip away. Letting go is not just letting things slip away. Letting go is actively deciding, I'm going to stop this and start this, or allow this. We have another phone caller. I'm going to go ahead and let them on, see if they'd like to join the conversation. Hold on.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Oh, you want to join or are you just listening?
Well, I'm listening and I wanted to join and I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'm a little late getting to the show, so I probably missed the most important aspects of it. So I'll listen a little bit more to what you're talking about. I just wanted to apologize for my tardiness. And hi, Lydia. I know she's
hi.
In the chat room. Oh, there you are. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that's Nina in the chat room.
Oh, okay. So what did I miss, or what point are you at right now? Don't go back. What did
Were your ears burning? Were your ears burning?
No.
Okay, well, there was an example I used at the beginning of the show about letting go, how sometimes people, they're so attached to something. And what I did is I actually talked about an incident in your life when your car was stolen, and you just reacted as if this person was, you know, knew you and meant you some particular harm. But your reaction was a little over the top. And
yeah,
it
was past me jerk. It was psychotic. I just had this thing that you don't steal from me because I have a heart of gold. Anything, I'd give up my last dime. You know that, Brenda. That's who I am. I just have that much love and generosity about me. You never have to steal from me. So to take my car? Jeez. I mean,
well,
yeah, I see why the man dumped out the car.
Huh? Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what happened because it was definitely a situation where you really could have let go right away.
I had,
not want to share. You don't have to.
Oh, no, I'll just say real quick. I had left my keys in my car, but I'm like, you could look out the window where I check in and see my car right there on the curb. So I ran in and put my purse in the office, and it was a lady's birthday, and I had brought some stuff for her. And before I could get back outside to go park my car, somebody else decided, now, here's somebody stupid. She left her keys in the car. I can laugh now, y'all. Then I couldn't. So anyway, he takes off. I take off in the Port of Seattle car, and I'm like, oh, hell to the no. He took my car. and this is dangerous. We're doing 100 miles an hour going through local cities like Renton, Kent, because he's up on the highway, right, but we're traveling through because I've got the port vehicle as high as it can go, and he's doing my car at 100 miles an hour. I didn't even know my car could do 100 miles an hour. How about that? But anyway, he finally, because I kept getting to the side of him in the short of the story, that finally way up in the east end of Renton, this urban area, he jumped out my car. Thank God, and he left my keys. But he jumped out the car because I had all the windows down in the poor car, and I kept yelling, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Pull over. And he's scared because he's like, I can't believe this woman is driving after me in her own, you know, behind her car. Because, you know, people steal cars. How many people actually get behind somebody that steals their car and try to run them off the road?
Like, this thing,
which is your car.
This woman is chasing this man through more congested streets than OJ
was. Yeah, that
was
dangerous. I took that too far. That was dangerous because not only could him or I been hurt, but if you can imagine, folks, 100 miles an hour on the freeway, and I'm going in and out in my company's vehicle, just took off with this. So, but actuality, you know, of course, when I got back, you know, I talked to the police and stuff, the police officer, you know, fussed at me because he said, this could have been a horrible situation where you let your anger and everything just take me. You know what I mean? I was hostage to my emotions that I went after the man instead of just going back in the office, call the police, give him my license plate, what my vehicle looked like in the direction that I saw him going. But
wait,
no, I went to
that.
Handle it myself. Yeah.
I've got another side of the story. My car got stolen, and the police said, oh, we hardly ever get cars back. So, you know, I never did get my car back.
Oh.
So,
well,
you
I
know, I mean, and if I had had the opportunity to see them leave with my car, I would have probably, well, I don't know how I would have. I was all alone in a place I normally wasn't. So, but yeah, no, they don't even, you know, if they run into it, fine, but they don't actively look for stolen cars.
No, and to be honest with you, Lydia, and Brendan knows this, a few years ago, Chauvinet got her Blazer stolen. And believe it or not, they found it down in Mount Rainier. Now, mind you, we live maybe, what, 2 hours, Brenda, or better from Mount Rainier, but that's where they found her vehicle stripped.
Mm-hmm.
They took everything out. It was just a shell.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. So you're right. Maybe sometimes it's best we don't know. You know what I mean? We don't know who those people are or what they're capable of. And that was my stupidity. I don't know, you know, the direction that Brenda was talking about. But that was my stupidity, put myself in danger. And somebody else at the time was, I thinking, hell to the no. All I could think about, somebody stealing from me. Why are you stealing from me? You know, but I don't know how much Brenda said, but I got caught up. I became hostage to my own emotions without thinking, you know, so that's bad.
Yeah, pay attention and admit it, realize what you're doing, and understand why you did it. Now you understand why you did it, you'll never do that again. I hope
Lord, no.
Because these days people carry guns and all kinds of things, and, you know, they shoot, unfortunately, in a society that has not figured out a better way to manage these dangerous weapons. They shoot for reasons that don't make any sense. And if you think that somebody won't use a gun for some nonsensical reason, ask yourself how many times you've encountered people that you know and love doing nonsensical things or saying nonsensical things that left you wondering where that came from.
Yeah.
Now put a weapon in the mindset of that. And every human being has times that they check out.
Yeah, amen. That's a good one, Brenda. I like that, check out. Yep.
So, letting go is... you know, this instance that she gave us, it was a great example of where we've allowed something to just take over. So, quite honestly, and I'm not trying to go against some Catholic doctrine or anything, but it's the same, tantamount to being possessed. Something else is owning you and moving you as a puppet instead of you taking charge of your life. Any time that you feel that you're going to make somebody else do something, you're already holding on to something that does not exist. We cannot control other human beings. We can force them into situations through guns or threat of death or threat of killing someone in someone else's life, all kinds of things, leverage for money, whatever. But you still can't control them. Yeah, they may be doing it, but where their thought is, who knows? So the first thing you should always let go of is anytime you want somebody else or expect somebody else to do something or to be a certain way. But you do have control over you. And very often we like to pretend we don't have control over us. And so it's interesting that we want to control others when we don't control ourselves. We don't control what comes out of our mouths. We don't control what we do to other people. So it is very interesting that we want to control someone else with these not very good mastered powers of control for our own being. So, yeah, look to yourself. Look to yourself and what's going on with you. You know, what is it that you're hoping to achieve by holding on to stuff that doesn't serve you? Maybe you just want to be able to say that you have a lot of things. I have a lot of books. I don't know if I'm going to be able to read every single one of them, but it's a security blanket, you know, for my mind. It probably came from Henry Bemis in Rod Sterling's The Twilight Zone, when the episode where he nobody would let him read. And I just didn't understand that because I read everything when I was a kid. And then, you know, there's a nuclear bomb in this episode, and then here's this guy who's left all alone in the world, and all he ever wanted to do was read poems, books, whatever. And now everyone's gone who would say you cannot read. So then he became sort of weird and greedy. He got them all packed up. He wore Coke bottle glasses, and he reaches for another book. Like, he doesn't have enough. He finally found the library, and it's like he said, now there's finally time enough. And he reaches over, and his glasses fall off and breaks. And it's just, I was terrified for years as a kid. It scared the heck out of me. to this day, I can't even imagine being in any space where there isn't a book. I feel like I'm dying of thirst. So will I have to let that go? Possibly. But I sort of actually enjoy my love of books. I love smelling them, feeling them, hugging them. Yes, I love books. And but letting go, you know, movers didn't really like me because she kept saying, oh, so many books, so many. She was really pumped.
Can I say something when you say about letting go? I think one of the hardest things in life is for a parent to let their child go and to experience life for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Because we want to be so protective, and that's a control issue. We want to be so protective because we know what it's like out here in this world, and we only want the best for our kids, regardless, you know, whether they're good, bad, or ugly. And most of the time, as parents, we love them no matter what. But there's that control issue and letting go, because once your kids leave for college or they move out on their own and get their own apartment, you still, as a parent, are going to worry. It might be a minuscule of control just to say, like, okay, you got your sheets, you got your plates and stuff for your kitchen, your bathroom and stuff like that. Okay, you're on a good path. You're doing good, you know, but still we as parents, hey, let them go. They got to learn. You got to pay your furniture bill. You got to pay utilities. Can't come run back to mom and dad, you know. So, to me, that's hard. It took a couple of things to happen between me and Shaw for me to let go. You know, so I don't know about Lydia and her son, but you just, you know, you want the best for them, and it's like, okay, let them go. Let them be adults like you are.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing. I have a hard time letting him go and be who he's going to be. I want to protect him. And, you know, part of living life is learning, and sometimes that's painful. But you, as a parent, it's very hard to watch your child go through any kind of pain at all. When you think you are able to stop them. You know, I want to tell you that when I got my car stolen, I was young, and it was a VW Bug. I loved it. And it was a real, you know, it really needed fixing up. And I had a job, and so every payday I would do something else. And I had gotten the car all fixed up internally, and the next step I was going to have to do is buy tires. So I went to a movie, and it was really strange. I had looked at my German Shepherd dog that looked very scary, and I was going to bring her with me. But my husband had an altercation in the neighborhood, and I would be leaving the house with no dog in it. And I made the judgment call to let, you know, my dog stay at home and kind of guard the house. I didn't even think anything about guarding my car. I never thought that my car would be stolen. So I went into a movie. I saw Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro and Jodie Foster and Coming Home, two great movies. And when I got out, I, like, went to the spot where my car was, and I was probably all of 25, and I'm like, wait a minute, where's my car? And I'm started talking to myself, and people are getting in their cars, and I'm just like, I know it was here. So I'm walking around the neighborhood, which I didn't know it was in Denver, and I go back to the movie theater. I'm like, I got my car stolen. I called the cops, called where my husband was at the time. There was no cell phones, and I was kind of freaked out about it, but in the time when the cops came, I was kind of a mess. But when my husband's friend came to pick me up, I had calmed myself down, and what I had told myself, it's just a possession. It's okay.
Yep.
I'm okay, and it's just a possession, and it's okay. And I was so calm about it that my husband's friend was just like, are you okay? And I'm like, you know, it could have been a whole lot worse. It's just a thing. And I was fine with it. And I never got it back. They said that it was probably already halfway down to Mexico and that they parked them out. I mean, that, you know, and I didn't realize that. I had never known any of that stuff. So, and I had locked it, which I'm not a big locker of cars, especially when I was young. I never locked a car. but I had locked it that night.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
These are all just great examples, everyone. I do want to say this, something that was suggested by psychology, Psych Central, actually. And they were saying that some things to do for letting go is to, in becoming free, is to focus on what you would lose or how it would be if you don't let go. Focus on how free you would be if you let go. Focus on the possibilities on the other side of letting go, that luggage. And I had said on the show yesterday, try to imagine that you're holding on to every piece of clothing that you've had since birth. Try to imagine trying to hold that up and still go about your life. That's what the clogging is in your life when you do not let go of something that you know is not serving your highest good or your needs or your life. Whatever that is, take time to look at it, reframe it, and, give it its time to go. Release it. If it's about feelings that has something to do with a past loved one or people who are currently in your life, write a letter. Get the pen and paper. It is your friend, just like change. And write out some of the things, the resentments and the hurts or whatever you're feeling. Even if you can't talk to that person or they don't want to hear from you, write it out. Get yourself a nice little, bowl, maybe metal or stone, and go outside and just put match to that awful, dark, feeling hurt, resentment, and let it you could even let it just blow out into the wind after it's burned up and it's turned to ashes. Or you could plant it and let something positive grow from it. Or you could release, Lena said once about releasing it out into
the water.
A stream or water. Just maybe even, you don't even have to burn it up. You could just get some plants. Get some roses and assign each rose something that you want to let go of that's in your personality, your habits, or something that's just not helping you, and just like, I love you and you're free to go away. I release you. And, put each rose out ceremoniously into the stream or the creek or the ocean. Just that simple ritual may free up a whole lot more of your spirit than you might have ever imagined. Let go, folks. Release and renew. Okay. Now I'm going to go ahead and talk about some of the shows that are going up because we're basically out of time. Almost out of time. The shows coming up for tomorrow are... Film College. Oh, no, tomorrow we've got psych reading with Lennon.
Oh,
Lennon.
Yes. I'm so deep into your show today that my mind's somewhere else. Yes, Wednesday will be psychic readings on the Essence of Success Radio Network at 3 p.m. in the afternoon Pacific time or 6 p.m. Eastern time. And Brenda's my co-host, and we try and answer people's questions to the best of our abilities, and hopefully we empower people and give them good thoughts when they leave the show. And then on Thursday,
we're going to be talking about Filmcology, film plus psychology, about the characters and the plot of the show. It's the third in our series on the Alien Anthology, and we'll be talking about the next transition of Lieutenant Ripley with her alien compadre. So join us tomorrow. Get a chance to watch the show, the movie, if you can, Alien 3, Alien to the Third Power, and consider the previous shows and how they compare. And let's get down and dirty with some gender talk and, future talk and all kinds of stuff.
Sounds good.
Ooh. Ben Lennon.
Oh, Friday is Traffic Jam Fridays at 3 o'clock for 30 minutes, excuse me. Woo, Brenda Subject's got my head going. 30 minutes of music and fun. So as you're leaving work and if you're listening to it, or maybe you're already at home and listening on the Internet or your iPhone, whatever, 30 minutes make you smile. And I do a collage of music. So each week you have to listen in because you never know. Could be doo-wop, could be 70s, could be 90s, 2000. Okay. And Saturday we have my girl.
Yeah, we have Time to Love with me, Lydia. I'll be talking this Saturday about spiritual spring. Thursday is the first day of spring, so that put me in the mood. It's a time of new growth, and that's for the inner and the outer. So that's what we'll be talking about Saturday.
And
that brings us to Sunday.
In the studio with Lennis and producer.
Before Lennis is Sunday, is Lydia is sort of setting the tone for the next week's show coming up. Next week's show's coming up. Go ahead, Lennis.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. Sunday's show in the studio with Lennis is going to be about books. And so if you have any interesting books that you've read and you'd like to share, or maybe something you're interested in wanting to read and maybe want to hear from other folks. But anyway, it's going to be about books. I know there's Kindle and iPad and all that stuff, but real readers, hardcore and paperback, we're here. We're here in prison. So we're going to talk about books.
And ladies and gentlemen, I would also like to say that we're going to do a quick change-o next week for BYO Brilliance. Next week we're going to try the show at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So it's
going to be a space
show, so it's going to be near your dinner time and all that, but, you know, hopefully it won't... rumble your tummy or anything. So this is for next week's BYO Brilliance. It's going to be at 6 p.m. and I'll you know.
On the 23rd or the 25th.
Yeah,
the 25th at 6 p.m.
The 25th.
Okay.
It's actually the 25th of March at 6 p.m. So, but before that, just another little shout out to my co-host, Lydia and Nina. We, on Monday, after the big start of the week, we have of Lennis' show, on Monday nights, we have LNB, Passage to Empowerment. And in keeping with Lydia's show about spiritual spring, we're going to be doing spring cleaning next Monday, folks. So get your brooms out and your candles and your incense and get in some of your dungarees, roll up your sleeves. We're getting ready to clean out your ears, your spirit, your relationships, and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. Or I'll be there to say something funny about it. I'm not much of a... But maybe we can get Marlene on the show because she's a cleaning demon. And maybe she can clean up all the other areas of our life. So anyway, that's what's coming up, folks. Thank you for joining us for BYO Brilliance and letting go. Again, release and renew. You've got it in you. The brilliance will carry you far. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.